Game 4 of the National League Division Series at Wrigley Field. Cubs win. They go to the NLCS for the first time since 2003. They lose. Then Game 5 on Thursday night in St. Louis against the Cardinals. For the latest, we go out to the ballpark and Wrigley Field. And the score is David Schuster. David.
All right, Nick. And right now the fans are cheering in the background. That's because strikeout by Jason Hamill. Two outs here in the top of the second. The Cardinals are leading at 2-0. In fact, they took the lead just four pitches into this game. Stephen Piscotty with a two-run homer, and it was very loud before the game, got very quiet afterwards. By the way, the Cubs have never clinched a playoff series here at Wrigley Field. John Lackey, a 1-2-3 first inning with a couple of strikeouts. 58 degrees with the wind blowing out towards right at first pitch. And a short leash for Hamill today is already. The bullpen is warming up. Justin Grimm is warming up in the pen. Cardinals leading it 2-0 here in the second. Live at Wrigley, David Schuster on WSCR, The Score.
Other baseball tonight, the Mets try to close out the Dodgers at Citi Field. They're going to have to beat Clayton Kershaw like they did in Game 1 in order to do so there. Bears are off today. The Lions await them in Detroit on Sunday. Blackhawks off tonight. They return to action tomorrow in Philadelphia. Bulls preseason tomorrow night when they host the Pistons. Derrick Rose not expected to play this preseason. NFL Steelers officially activate Martavius Bryant, and the Chiefs officially put Jamal Charles on the IR. His season is done. The scoreboard update brought to you by ChicagoFootball.com, your hub for the best Bears coverage and Cubs playoff push coverage. On The Score, presented by Budweiser, official beer of the Chicago Cubs. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Sullivan Steakhouse.
Boars and Bernstein.
Financial Hammer.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 401 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Boars and Bernstein, we made you a promise, and now we're going to keep it.
This was Theo Epstein, president of the Cubs, earlier today with Matt Spiegel and Jason Goff.
Theo Epstein, I didn't know if we were going to jump into it immediately or not, but I tweeted last night, I got to know why and when, because when you saw yourself in that on that picture on television, the response wasn't one of joy and happiness. It was kind of like, why now, dude?
Well, let's get on the record, first of all. That is not like a posed Zoolander shot.
I thought it was a headshot for a sitcom role. You were getting ready to try to get.
They caught me candidly thinking at some point, which is hard to do. Brutal, the Einstein thing. Come on, TBS. You're better than that.
Not really. No.
maybe not. Yeah, the Einstein comp. That's just a little bit to live up to, right?
That was just absurd.
But, you're used to that, though, in terms of like the... God, they had you walking on water the first
He's the Rainmaker.
Chicago Sun-Times cover way back when. But here we are in this moment. How much is this year, is this run right now exceeding whatever your expectations or even visions could have been?
You know, this type of run is what we dreamed of. You know, why you get into baseball in the first place, why you, bring people in to form an organization, why you sacrifice with your brothers, work the long hours, and why the scouts drive, the extra miles, why the staff members stay up at night figuring out how to reach a player here and there, and why you come together as an organization. And we all had this vision in our head of, a lineup full of young players slugging their way through October. We didn't think it would happen this quickly. And let's be clear, we haven't reached our goal yet at all. We got a lot of work to do to get past this series, let alone the ultimate prize. But nights like last night, when we're scouting players and you kind of write lineups out on cocktail napkins late at night in the bar, you get excited about it, and then it gets on the whiteboard in the boardroom, and then the first time they're together in spring training, we're excited about it. Now they're doing it in October. It's incredible to see. So this is what we live for.
How do you guys as a organization work through that doubt? Because there's always professional doubt and professional discomfort, no matter how confident you are in any industry. The last couple of years, when everyone is ringing the bells about, when is this going to happen? When are they going to do something? When are they going to make some minuscule move that makes me feel better as a fan? How do you guys work through that doubt? How did you work through that doubt? And at what point did you kind of feel like, I told you this was getting ready to happen as a franchise?
That's a great question. Couple different answers. I think the first thing is that it's really important to believe before you see. We had to have belief in what we were doing before we could see it play out. And that's not just with the big league team, but that's with the organization. We were starting essentially from the bottom, and we had a lofty goal of what we wanted to build. And so you you can't go into that needing instant gratification. You can't go into it even needing periodic affirmation. You need to go in trusting yourself and trusting the organization, trusting your brothers that you work with, knowing that it's going to happen. And that gets to the second point, which is, you know, it's all about people and processes. So I think this organization is really, really healthy right now because of the people that we brought in, the, you know, the character, the people, the work ethic, the selflessness, the camaraderie, and then the processes. I think, you know, you can't just sit down and say, okay, here's how we want to build, you know, a successful major league team. You have to, in each little area of baseball operations, from the draft to international to pro scouting to player development to the big league team to the rules to working out contracts, you have to have processes that make you right a little bit more often than you're wrong and try to be a little bit better than the other 29 organizations. We spend a lot of time questioning ourselves, asking how we can do things better. One thing we've done okay is create an environment where people are allowed to question me, question whoever, Jason, Jed, all working together on this stuff. So we get the processes that we trust. And then if you have the people of high character and talent and you have processes that you trust, you don't need that affirmation because you know eventually you're going to get
it. It's kind of like a foolproof way of, not foolproof, but you filter out a lot of the junk if you didn't have those
things.
It's
hardly foolproof. If you look at my track record, you know, there's plenty of blunders along the way and they've done damage, but there's also a lot of good decisions that we've all made, you know, collectively that will get us, that'll inch us there. It's like the casino in Las Vegas. If we can be right 55% of the time, transaction after transaction after transaction, year, month after month after month, year after year after year, draft after draft after draft, trade deadline after trade deadline, we will get closer to our goal. And we've actually had a pretty high hit rate, you know, the last 3-4 years, which is nice.
You know, you've talked about the people and the players, the character of these guys. And I've heard you talk about the character of Anthony Rizzo, and you see just how loose and relaxed that dude is. And the character of Schwarber, and I know how much you loved him when you guys drafted him. But Soler, I mean, how calm he is right now and how aggressive he is, the fact that, like, he's refound the plate discipline from spring training all of a sudden. I mean, was that in his character? It seems to be a little bit of a surprise to Joe. I don't know if it's a surprise to you.
Yeah, Joe didn't get to see it last year when Jorge told us he was about to go off. You know, he was on the DL. He was dealing with the hamstring problems, and he saw Bryant take off and Javi having the big year, and he was really happy for those guys. This is last summer, but we sat down and had a meeting about how he could kind of recondition his body, balance out his anterior and posterior muscle mass, and keep himself healthier. And he said, he goes, oh, I'm so happy for my teammates, but, you know, I'm telling you right now, this is my time. And he went out and he dropped like 1200 OPS and AA, AAA, and then the big leagues and went nuts. And so I think he's a force of nature when he sets his mind to something. And, you know, make no mistake, he understands the big stage. He understands how competitive it is right now just to get in the lineup. And he really wants to win. And he's as caught up in this as everybody, pulls for his teammates and wants to win. But guy's made it out in the postseason. It's epic. And it does remind me a lot of the run he went on last year where he cruised through AA, AAA in the big leagues. When he gets some natural loft in his swing, he hits the ball as hard as anyone. So when he's able to elevate the ball, he does incredible damage. And Joe hadn't really seen that kind of a role, but now he has. I'm really happy about that.
I mean, it's amazing because that's the athletic capabilities of that guy are obviously off the charts. But this component, this calm and that plate discipline, that bodes so well. I don't know who you're going to trade. You don't have to trade anybody,
it's
do
not,
you?
Not a time to talk about
all right,
that.
Anyway,
but we love the depth. I mean, you know, it was so awful to see Addison go down, you know, with that injury yesterday, and we haven't gotten the results back yet. Hopefully it's not serious, but it's a great feeling to have Javi on the bench, able to come in. And that's what you really want to create, is a core that has depth and redundancy and interchangeable parts, because the season is all about attrition. And then even in the postseason, it's important to have those guys coming up. And I think one of the reasons we took off going into September, too, was just that's when depth really plays out. Other teams are maybe losing players and having to fill in. We had so many waves of players you could throw at guys, so that was great to see.
You were about to continue with something about Soler, and I took you off track about
just how you know, his calmness and his plate discipline, that was a big part of his game when we signed him out of Cuba, and then early on. And then I think he was just so eager to perform early this season, when it's really hard to perform when it's cold out in April and May in Wrigley. I think that got him off his game a little bit. Now he's
back to being that disciplined slugger. I think that's what makes him special, is he can see the ball really well. He can be calm in the box. He can be disciplined, and you see what happens when he is.
You mentioned you were happy that Jorge is going on this kind of run in front of Joe. And you and Joe and Jed and Jason, you guys talk about what's going on in the organization. When Javi Baez, we talked a lot about Javi Baez in spring training at the beginning of the season when he didn't come up. You know, when you guys have those organizational conversations, and you said that you make it a judgment-free zone in terms of you can question whatever you want, have an argument with the questions. Javi Baez, was that a situation where you and Joe may not have, I won't say agreed, but may have differed a little bit, and it worked out for the best?
I think we had different perspectives. You know, I he's an incredible baseball guy. You know, Joe is not just a magical psychologist and who brings incredible energy and is likable and you know, is sort of the driving force behind the culture that exists right now in the big league clubhouse. But he's also a tremendous scouting and player development guy. He had an area for a long time that he scouted. He was in the minor leagues forever. So he has the respect of every single person in this organization, all our scouts, all our development guys, mm-hmm. me included, with his evaluations and his judgments. We just had different perspectives on Javi because he was evaluating him based on, you know, three games last year against Tampa and then a spring training. And those of us who've been in the organization longer, we have more history with Javi. I think, you know, we understood the background a little bit more, the mental makeup a little bit more, and maybe a little bit more at the time about our perspective included more of his overall player development plan. And we felt, in the organization, we felt strongly that the best thing for Javi was to go to AAA and to continue to mature and bring the same calmness that he usually exudes in the field and the same instincts that he exudes on the bases, bring that into the batter's box with him. And he really went through that process. It wasn't easy, but I'm so proud of him because he faced it head on in AAA, changed his nature as a hitter with great results, and now he's a big part of this club. And I think I haven't even talked to Joe about looking back on it, if he agrees or not. Maybe it would have worked out the other way, but this is a good example where everyone brings a different perspective, everyone brings different history to the table. There's no right or wrong, but collectively as an organization, we're going to get to the right answer.
You know, I think a lot of Cub fans have commented to us how much they've learned from listening to Joe and watching Joe and the way he does things. And that dude, he gets as educated as he possibly can. And then it seems like he's watching contact, right? He's watching, like, is there good hard contact going against my pitcher? And that's when he'll decide if a guy's done. He doesn't care about pitch counts. He's not looking at if somebody's done in the fourth, if somebody's done in the fifth. He's just got a really good baseball sense as a baseball guy, like you were talking about, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing the game from the dugout, and they're all different vantage points across the league. Sometimes you're close, sometimes you're far away, and mm-hmm. you're at ground level, and you don't get to see where the pitch ends up. In or out, as well as we do from my home plate in the scout section or even on TV, it's a skill to be able to see the game from the dugout. And he was all over last night, you know, kind of sensing that, you know, maybe Jake was up a little bit more than he had been in the past and not counting on, after the first inning or two, not counting on eight or nine from Jake Arrieta,
right,
like we're used to, and planning ahead. So, yeah, Joe sees the game extremely well, and he's got a great coaching staff providing input for him as well.
Cubs president Theo Epstein joining us here on the Spiegel and Goff Show, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Also on watch 670thescore.com, you can see Theo. Speaking of Jake, this season, magical season, especially the post-All-Star break, historic season. Then you go into that wild card game, and he is Jake Arrieta all over again. What did you see or believe in him that you knew this would come to fruition, or are you as surprised as everybody else?
Well, I don't think anyone foresaw, you know, best second half of all time, and
sure you did. You
can
say
it. Yeah, no, no, no. I'm not that guy. But no, it was a great organizational decision, and we had our pro scouts see him, and I don't remember Jake Sirachi wrote a really nice report, a couple other guys, and They included lines in the report at the end, in the summary, which I think have been in every scouting report ever written about Jake Arrieta, which is, if it all comes together, you're looking at a top-of-the-rotation type guy. Unbelievable arm, unbelievable ability to spin the ball, great athlete, great mindset. You know, he was had the same competitive growth mindset in college that he has now, always trying to make himself better.
Always stays in decent shape.
He gets bigger. His back gets bigger by the day. We're all jealous of that. But, no, so, you know, and then when we – it was a coaching issue, too, because I think when we got him, we saw someone who maybe really needed to change the scenery over there. So when we got him, I'll never forget when I first called him after the trade, I said, hey, man, we think you're really good. We want you to be yourself. Just relax. And then – our coaches are the ones who put that into play at the AAA level and here at the big leagues, just saying, hey, be yourself. And what that meant for Jake was going back to a little bit of a crossfire delivery where he throws across his body, but in a way that's really effective for him and deceptive, and his best stuff comes out when that's at play. And then Boz made a few tweaks with him, but the person who deserves the most credit for Jake Arrieta is Jake Arrieta. I mean, this guy's at the top of his game, and he wakes up every day figuring out how he can be that much better. I mean, this guy grinds his own coffee, makes his own kale juice, you know, does his own Pilates. He's just always looking for an edge, not just
physically. Churns his own butter, fixes his own
kale
car.
Juice.
Not just physically and not just fundamentally, but mentally as well. He really, and we as an organization try to embrace the mental game, visualization, breathing, having the toughness to overcome adversity and the discipline to work at your craft. And nobody embodies that more than Jake Arrieta. So now that everyone else in the organization, from rookie ball through the big leagues, is seeing, you know, what this guy's accomplished with that approach, is going to be huge for us.
Wow, that's powerful when your best player, you know, in a year like this is also like really buying into the approach, and a hard worker like that. Oh my
yeah,
God, the
other,
example that sets.
Other veterans too, you know, John Lester, sure. Same way with his work ethic, and you know, the Fowlers and the Monteros, all the veterans. That Rizzo and Castro at a young age doing the same thing.
Does John ever smile?
Like
John
yeah.
Is.
Yeah,
John
I've seen him smile before.
It's usually a hard dude
with a cigar in his mouth and champagne on his head after you win the last game in October.
Hopefully, we see him smile again.
That's a good time to smile. And that might happen, right? I mean, that you dream of that happening. You mentioned a particular scout. Who was that? What was the name? Jake?
Jake Sirachi.
Jake Sirachi.
Yeah.
Was he on the field last
night? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so all our scouting and development guys were on the field last night.
That was really cool. They were all on the warning track. Everybody kind of getting a moment. How many of them were out there?
It was about 125. Wow. And so Tom Ricketts, who, of all the owners I've ever been around, values the scouts and the player development guys, goes out to the affiliates and gets to know them. And so we brought this idea to him of, you know, hey, if we win this wild card game, it would be wonderful to reward our scouting and player development guys, because we wouldn't be here without them. And he took about 2 seconds for him to sign off on it. So we flew every single scout and development guy in with their wives. We had a big reception for them the night before last, and then they were all at the game last night and on the field, obviously getting recognized, but
awesome.
Getting to look out and see the fruits of their labor. And that's what it is. I mean, the national cameras, they see the 25 guys, they see Joe and the coaching staff, and those guys deserve all the credit in the world. But you know, honestly, the culture change in this organization, in my opinion, started 3-4 years ago. At organizational meetings and in instructional league and out on the scouting trail and in the minor leagues. Or again, getting back to believing before you see. Our scouting and development guys and our front office guys, we believed before we saw, they believed before they saw what this organization could be. And then as we started to acquire young talent, they knew we were going to be good. And this year has been all about Joe and staff and the big league players taking it to another level, and that little secret that we had about how much talent there was in this organization now manifesting up here and sort of becoming obvious, I hope, to the country.
It's ironic, isn't it? On a night when you got 125 people from the department walking the warning track, all the 2BS cameras were finding was you and Jed, right? It's like you and Jed up in the box. And then there's everybody who actually helped you achieve what you want.
That's why we don't like the cameras, to be honest, because it, you know, every chance we get, we need to talk about the organization and the growing. Where I'm proud to be the leader, you know, of that group and help set the vision. But it's the hard work and the commitment and the talent of literally hundreds of people getting this thing done.
Eddie also up there with you. Eddie Vedder also up there with you. Was he keeping
and my
score?
Mom. Don't forget my mom.
Oh, I didn't see it. Anybody else? Was Eddie keeping score? That
yeah,
seemed to
keep,
be.
Yeah, he keeps score meticulously every game he goes to.
I told people, I shared with people how he flew Jose Cardinal in for Hot Stove Cool Music, just as an example of the man's Cub fan cred. If you need such things, that's a real Cub fan, right?
Yeah, he's dyed-in-the-wool Cubs fan. Grew up in Evanston, coming down to games, and he's been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah, he grew up in Evanston, but I think he went to New Trier. So, yeah.
And then by way of San Diego eventually.
Yes, yeah. I'm an Evanston Wildcat. I can't. Yeah. He's cool, but only so cool. Theo Epstein joined us here on Spiegel & Goff, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. So with these young guys, whether it be Addison, Chris, Anthony, Kyle, Jorge, all these young guys, this isn't supposed to happen like this. And now with guys that are in the organization still, we talked to Jed yesterday, and there was an Al Mora question, and he said the people might have gotten spoiled this year with how quickly things have developed. the schedule for going forward, since you have this foundation and this core of guys, what does this do to your scouting department and in your minor league system? Does it put any more pressure to produce these kinds of fruits, or is this just one of those things where you got a good patch and you guys deserve it, but now you have to move forward like you had before?
No, it doesn't really change anything. I mean, our approach is that the single most valuable commodity in baseball is a talented young player. And so our scouting approach is just find as many as you can. We develop them to play on the field at Wrigley. We know not all of them are going to get there. We know some of them are going to get traded. But if you give us, and if we can create and unearth, a stable of really talented, high character, high talent minor league prospects, that creates a huge margin for error for us. It creates optionality. It gives us a broad band of different outcomes and takes us into the winter. If you have money and you have young players, there's really nothing that you can't accomplish in a given winter. So the only difference for us is we're going to be drafting 28. We're used to drafting Boston instead of, up high. And that's where you want to draft. You want to draft 30th if you can.
We talk a lot about the Cardinals way or other ways. You came in and your staff came in with essentially the Cubs way, with the manual about how you guys are going to play baseball.
Well, one thing, we didn't come in with the Cubs way. That was a collective process. So I came in, I took a little bit from the Red Sox, what we did over there, mm-hmm. but we didn't want to just replicate the Red Sox way. So we didn't come in with it. The first thing we did when we got here, I think it was within the first 2 weeks of being a Cub, we had organizational meetings where those 125 people that you saw last night, we brought them to a hotel down in Mesa, and we spent 4 days figuring out what the Cubs way would be, putting together the collective wisdom.
That's what I was
going
to ask you, what are those principles then?
Putting together the collective wisdom of all the people in the room. Scouts have been doing it for 40 years. Development guys have been doing it for 30 years. Me and the guys in the front office, and we spent a day on hitting, a day on pitching, a day on base running and defense, figuring out what it was we were going to stand for, how we were going to teach the game, what was the Cubs way going to be. And, we didn't all agree, but in the end, we got together and figured out what we would be as an organization. And not gonna go into too much detail, but a lot of it revolves around controlling the strike zone, on both sides of the ball. That as an offense, we wanted to control that zone, be disciplined hitters, not go outside the zone, get into good counts, and then do damage on pitches that you can drive. And so we're really proud of the fact that, this, you saw it last night. Everyone talks about the 6 home runs, but the reason we hit those 6 home runs is because we had a really good approach. We didn't expand. We forced them into the zone and then did damage on pitches that we could handle. We've gone from last in the league in pitches per plate appearance, gotten better every single year, and now we're first. We walked a tremendous amount. Our on-base percentage is now where it should be. We were last in the league in batting average. But I think that tells you, all you need to know about how important sometimes batting average can be. So, and then on the pitching side, same thing. Strike one, don't let the hitter control the at-bat, control the strike zone, but get ahead, be able to miss bats and throw strikes. And so it's a big manual, but it was really cool to see those folks walking around the warning track last night, because we all contributed in some way to defining the Cubs way, and that's a big part of why we're here.
Did you take Wrigley into account in those four days as you're talking about it, being that this is where you're going to end up? And has Wrigley played out differently than you expected?
Yeah, in a way, it's really hard. It's really hard to build a team for Wrigley. It was easy to build a team for Fenway, because you just want left-handed hitters who can go the other way, mm-hmm. and then occasionally right-handed pull hitters. But because it played the same way all the time here, as it's totally schizophrenic, two extremes, whether it's blowing in or blowing out, and it's really hard to build a team that way. But I think Joe does a masterful job, and our players of embracing it, and they know it's time to lunch up when they see the wind blowing out, and then and for pitchers, it's time to keep the ball on the ground, and then when it's blowing in. For hitters, it's really a psychological exercise of just not letting it bother you and playing the game the right way. And obviously, then we're gonna start runners. We're gonna play a little more small ball, and pitchers can be a little bit more aggressive in the strike zone and up in the strike zone in those days.
Theo Epstein with us for a couple more moments here on the Spiegel and Golf Show, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
We got a lineup, by the way. Probably not a surprise to Theo. Yesterday, we got the lineup during the
Jade interview. I don't think they're surprised by much.
Fowler, Soler, Bryant, Rizzo, Castro, Schwarber, Montero, Hamill, and Baez. Couple of weird plays for Javi last night. A little worried or not too worried about Javi?
Not at all. Just getting the jitters out. He came in the game cold, and now he's had a day to prepare. And this guy's an exceptional defensive shortstop, so that was uncharacteristic for him, and he'll be fine.
You mentioned Joe Maddon. You've mentioned him a couple of times in this interview. the foundation that he set. And that's the thing that I've been in awe of this entire season. We talk to him every single Tuesday, and it seems like I said, he speaks about life through baseball and the foundation that he set about enjoying the processes, as you've mentioned. Why is he so important to this entire thing? We always ask, like, how many wins are a manager worth? What does a manager really do outside of set a lineup? How does he control a clubhouse? Why Joe Maddon, and why is he so important?
Well, he does something that's invaluable, which is he creates a vibe that young players can thrive in, and that's really, really hard to do. And a big league team does start to reflect the personality and the characteristics of the manager, and Joe is truly relaxed, truly enjoys the moment, creates this vibe where players look forward to coming to the ballpark each day. You know, for a 60-year-old man, like these 21, 22, 23-year-olds like being around him. You know, that's unique in and of itself.
We were trying to get him to change over his playlist. He wasn't going for it.
They can't relate to the music per se, but they see through that and understand, you know, the core of the person. It's fun. I mean, this is probably back to 04. This is as fun a team as I've ever been around. And you know, young players, we game plan for young players to come up, maybe have a little struggle initially, then relax, be themselves, thrive before the league understands them. Then the league's going to adjust back. Then the grind of the season hits, and we expect them to maybe struggle, sometimes even through, as Javi did last year, all the way through September. And then it requires a lot of times an off season to reset and then come back and make those adjustments. What's remarkable about this season is that, you know, all our young players went through their struggles, and for some guys it was a month, some guys it was a matter of weeks, but everyone faced it and came through on the other side. And I don't think that happens without Joe and the coaching staff and the vibe that they created, that hey, it's okay to struggle, enjoy the moment, contribute in other ways, have fun, team first, and come through it on the other side. And our young guys did.
Well, they're all coming through. Last night, 1-6 homering is just... It's just insane.
He planned it that way.
Yeah, this is the way you wrote it up, right? Yeah.
It was a good night for that to happen, but our scouts and development guys sitting in the bleachers catching the balls off the bats of the guys that they helped draft and develop.
Did they catch any? Jeff Passan at Yahoo wrote a story about all six people that caught the balls, actually.
No, I think they were having a little bit too good a time to catch any balls, if you know what I mean, but they definitely enjoyed themselves.
That's all right, good. Before we let you go, I have to ask this because I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to do it again. Which guy do you do your dance because of, or the guy that you spike the ball because of? Because whenever I see Kyle Schwarber hit a home run, I think to myself about all the scouting reports and all the things. He's not going to be a catcher, drafted way too high. What are the Cubs doing here? He's a DH. Of course, Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant. Anthony Rizzo has been phenomenal. Jorge Soler is an interesting athlete to watch, and Addison Russell is going to save you runs for a decade damn near. But Kyle Schwarber has that different feeling about him. What about that guy? Did you say, you know what, I need that bat, and we'll figure out everything else?
Well, on Schwarbs, it was just the process of getting to watch him play as a college player. I actually fell in love with him the first time I saw him on videotape.
What stuck out?
His underclassman, just the shortness of the swing and the power. Being that short and that powerful to the ball, and his ability to, in college, you know, clear out the inside pitch. Short arms, short swing. Great balance, great timing for a guy who's got a lot going on in his setup was remarkable. And you know, dropped a big poppy comp on him, you know, the first time I saw the swing. But then it was really the process of getting to know him, and our scout Stan Zielinski did an unbelievable job, our area guy, getting to know Kyle inside and out and swearing by his makeup. And then Jason and I got a chance to meet Kyle in spring training. Spending like 90 minutes with him just talking about baseball and starting to understand what made him tick. And you can't help but fall in love with the kid. And, he's not alone, though. I mean, any of these guys, really any of our 25, if people start thinking about these guys and their personalities and what it means to be Cub, then we've had success. But this kid, it's genuine, man. He's just a likable guy, and love to see him mash.
And he also told you to go get a kayak.
Get your kayak.
So he's got that going, too. Theo, man, thank you for coming over. Appreciate the time very much.
I'm sad now because...
What's that?
I'm a Sox fan, and I need one of these guys.
Well, you know.
I appreciate all the kind words for the organization, but we got a lot of work to do, and our guys are focused. We need one more win, move on to the next round, and then, you know, there's plenty of baseball left, and we got to go out and do it.
There
but
you
I
go.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Theo Epstein.
Today, Theo Epstein dropped by the Score's live broadcast to talk to Spiegel and Goff.
For those 125 people that you saw last night, it was really cool to see those folks walking around the warning track last night because we all contributed in some way to defining the Cubs way, and that's a big part of why we're here.
Hear the entire Theo Epstein interview with Spiegel and Goff at 670thescore.com.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. Last night was one of the rare nights of the entire year that football was getting hammered by baseball. The Cubs had twice as many home runs last night as the Chargers had points at halftime. Wow, 10-10 in the fourth quarter. You stay exciting, San Diego. And then the football gods decided that the Shield can't lose even one night. The game goes into 1.5 speed. Mike Vick flips back to 2006, and Le'Veon Bell, standing in the Wildcat at the one with 5 seconds left, somehow finds a way to get into the end zone and win the game. Insane. For a Steeler fan, that touchdown was a lot like the game itself. Disastrous, unwatchable, and in a second, electric. They went to the mattresses, the coach then went to his blowtorch, and for once you lived up to your motto. Straight fire, Michael. I'm Jim Rome.
That's the sound of a computer getting hacked, which happens 18 times a second to people, to big companies, to everyone. Want to be ready for a cybersecurity career? Then you are kind of different. Because DeVry University's cybersecurity programming specialization immerses you in cyber attack simulations so you can be career ready the day you graduate. DeVry University. Different on purpose. Learn about all our technology programs at DeVry.edu.
For comprehensive consumer information, visit DeVry.edu/BCIS. Program availability varies by location.
Sunrise Chevrolet is your Chevy truck headquarters. Now during Chevy Truck Month, get deep discounts on hundreds of new trucks, including Chevy Silverado and Colorado. Get huge savings with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $4,000 Chevy bonus cash. When only a truck will do, get it at Sunrise Chevrolet, conveniently located in Glendale Heights. Visit sunrisechevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Available on select new Chevy trucks to qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Say bye-bye to your big bank credit card and hello to the nicest card you'll ever carry, the CEFQ MasterCard credit card. Get started today at CEFQ.com/mycard and see why CEFQ is not a bank. Better.
This is your call to get game ready with the official pregame products of the NCAA, Axe, Dove Men Plus Gear, and Degree Men. The players don't mess around, and neither should you, so use what the players use and wear what the players wear. Jerseys, shorts, hats. Right now, get $5 off your favorite collegiate team's apparel in Fan Central when you buy 3 Unilever men's grooming products at Target. Remember, this is your time to get game ready, so don't let us down.
Offer valid between October 4th and November 7th. Click the ad for more information. Available at Target.
Scoreboard update.
4:30 from the Score Update studio. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Cubs and Cardinals, game 4 of the NLDS at Wrigley going on right now. A win sends the Cubs to the NLCS for the first time in a dozen years. A loss would force a game 5 with St. Louis coming up on Thursday. For the latest, we go out to the ballpark, and the Score is David Schuster. David.
All right, Nick, and a lot has changed over the last half hour. We're now bottom 3, and the Cubs with the lead. It's 4-2. St. Louis had a 2-0 lead just 4 pitches into this game. Stephen Piscotty with a 2-run homer off of Jason Hamill. But then in the Cubs' second, Hamill actually batted with 2 on and 2 out, the reason being Joe Maddon is down a player because of Addison Russell's injury, so Hamill actually helped out his own cause with an RBI single, might be the biggest hit of his life. And then moments later, Javier Baez with a 3-run homer. The place went berserk, and that's the difference in the game, obviously, 4-2. And just moments ago, Miguel Montero picking off Jason Hayward. So the Cubs doing it in the field and at the bat, and right now they have a 4-2 lead, bottom half of the third inning. Live at Wrigley, David Schuster on WSCR, The Score.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers and Mets tonight. Mets try to close out L.A. in that one. Going to have to get by Clayton Kershaw in order to do so, though. That game starts at 7:07. Bears a day off today. Didn't keep them from making some news moments ago. They waived backup quarterback David Fales. Bears getting ready for their game on Sunday at the 0-5 Lions. Blackhawks off tonight. They return to action tomorrow in Philadelphia. Bulls preseason tomorrow night continues when they host the Detroit Pistons. Derrick Rose not expected to play this preseason and questionable as of now for the regular season opener. NFL, the Steelers have officially activated Martavis Bryant. Chiefs officially put Jamal Charles on injured reserve. His season is done, and Matt Cassel to take over as the starting quarterback in Dallas for Brandon Whedon. Cubs playoff push coverage on the Score is presented by Budweiser, the official beer of the Chicago Cubs. Cubs. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment on The Score is brought to you by CNN. Tonight, the Democratic candidates meet on the same stage for the first time. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, and James Webb. The CNN Democratic presidential debate tonight at 8:30 Eastern, only on CNN. The race starts here.
We have Pete Futek coming up in just a couple of moments. We're going to talk some college football. It's not like we're lacking for subjects when it comes to the sport that he covers for us, because my goodness.
There's some my goodness there's stuff, wasn't there?
There's some serious headlines going on in just the last couple of days. I mean, that's really something.
They're all drunk.
Well, you know, like...
Yeah, I know. They're all drunk are. And... he's, you know, I like him anyway. He's drunk, okay. And my guy, and our guy leaves, you know, the best quote in college football is gone now, leaving it to people who have nothing to say, ever. Does anybody have anything to say other than him?
Harbaugh does. Harbaugh says stuff, right?
Not really. I mean, he's more likely to talk about life than he is about something interesting about football.
The past?
The physical nature of how they've beaten Michigan in the past.
Oh, I mean... Think about the Lion King. Yeah. Simba gets hit over the head, and he tells him, yeah, the past can hurt. You can either run from it or embrace it and learn from it. I think is exactly what he said, so those seem like very wise words. We'll go about that.
What? The Lion King.
Okay.
Hakuna Matata.
Okay.
Which I believe was the name of Bison Dele's catamaran, wasn't it?
Can't find it.
Wasn't that the Hakuna Matata?
Might be.
Yeah,
I've seen the story. Yeah, they've you know.
I think it was because they found the boat, but nobody was on it, if I remember correctly.
That's correct.
Everybody else was wet.
Mm-hmm.
Boat fine, people not. Hakuna Matata, happy, except not so much. All right, we're always happy when Pete Futek joins us and says things. That's next. Boers and Bernstein on The Score.
When Bears news breaks, count on us to deliver. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. Call 800-790-4961. That's 800-790-4961. Again, 800-790-4961.
At DeVry University's College of Business, we're looking for what the companies you'd want to work for are looking for. The go-getters. Students who want to go places in the business they're in now or the startup they haven't even started yet. At DeVry, we teach what's been business world tested. So if you want to learn today and make an impact tomorrow, you're our kind of student. Our kind of different. DeVry University's College of Business. Different on purpose. Visit DeVry.edu.
Program availability varies by location. For comprehensive consumer information, visit DeVry.edu/consumer info.
Say bye-bye to your big bank credit card and hello to the nicest card you'll ever carry, the CEFQ MasterCard credit card. Get started today at CEFQ.com/mycard and see why CEFQ is not a bank. Better.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of someone who is terrible at giving directions. So you get on the 506, or it's the 605, and on the left past the new food truck, but not the new one, there's a six-way stop that's kind of like comparing Progressive's direct rate with our competitors' rates on Progressive.com, but not. Then take a right at the tree that looks like that guy from that show. You know, that guy that does a thing, and everyone's like, ha-ha!
Directing you to rates in one place at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Attention homeowners, I've told you before, and if you missed out, I'm telling you again, rates are dropping to another historic low. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Why pay more if you don't have to? Whether you're buying a home or refinancing, we can do this with no closing costs. That's right, no points, no fees. Even if you refinanced in the last year, we can still probably save you money. So don't delay.
Call Westland Financial today at 1-800-809-7818. That's 1-800-809-7818.
All it takes is a five-minute phone call to find out how you can save hundreds or thousands of dollars a year. And by the way, Westland Financial is proud to offer reverse mortgages for our clients over 62. The only way you can lose money is not to call Westland Financial.
Call Westland Financial today at 1-800-809-7818. That's 1-800-809-7818. 1-800-809-7818. 1-800-809-7818. NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Federal Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction to ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, there is no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call the Federal Tax Relief Hotline, 1-800-237-2199. 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199.
Do you owe the IRS? Do you have unfiled tax returns? Have you received a wage garnishment or bank levy? If you or your business owe $10,000 or more to the state or IRS, and you are one of the first 100 callers, we will prepare your tax returns for free. Call the Tax Firm of America, 1-800-726-1430. This offer is limited to the first 100 callers, 1-800-726-1430. 1-800-726-1430.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of Insphere Insurance Solutions Incorporated, licensed insurance agency in all states. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
An important message for Americans eligible for Medicare. The annual enrollment period is now open. Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you find the right plan for you with one simple free phone call. The deadline is December 7th. Call now, 800-307-9051. 800-307-9051. 800-307-9051.
It's gonna be one of those nights. Your football weekend kicks off here with Thursday Night Football on CBS and NFL Network. The bitter rivals, the showdowns and the throwdowns, ground and pound and pass happy. Prime time matchups. Football starts here with Thursday Night Football on CBS and NFL Network. Night, night.
Hi there, radio listeners. I'm Stephen Colbert, and I want you to know that as the host of The Late Show on CBS, I'll be doing commercial-free Tuesdays. And hold on. What? Okay, I'm being told that Tuesdays will, in fact, have many commercials, maybe even more. Okay, then strike all that stuff. The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, tonight on CBS.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, followed by The Late Late Show with James Corden, tonight, only CBS.
Everybody needs a dentist they can trust. But how do you find one? Calling Dental Referral right now is the best way to find a dentist, period. Confused about which dentist accepts your insurance? Worried about going to a dentist you've never heard of? Dental Referral checks member dentist licenses and collects verified patient reviews. Our call center is open right now, and the call is free at 855-780-6970. We can even get you same-day appointments, but you must call now. 855-780-6970.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Keith Futek.
I love him. My daddy loved him. His daddy loved him.
Managing editor of CampusInsiders.com.
I love football. Love it. Love it. I think it's the last bastion of hope for toughness in America in men. And males.
Publisher of collegefootballnews.com.
Launches it, goes for the end zone. The ball's in the air, it drops at the goal line. I think he caught it for a touchdown. He got it! He got it! He got it! Touchdown, Mick Matthews! The Cougars win it!
Pie aficionado.
Was that pie I smell?
Pete Futek.
He's a friend of the program.
Pete Futek with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
443 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our guy is here. I wonder if there's anything going on in college football that's worth talking about. I don't know. Pete Futak's on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. You follow him on Twitter, at Pete Futak. So, Pete, let's start with the most recent headline first. Steve Spurrier up and quits.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. And it's funny because last night when this all happened, you know, everybody I know in the biz, and I mean, we all love Spurrier because he was the quote machine. And, you know, so I writing the articles about him, and it was like, yeah, it's going to miss him because he's a good dude and a great quote and a legendary college football coach. And the more you kind of thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, this dude just quit. And then you hear the press conference today and hearing him talk, and basically he woke up after his team played kind of poorly and was like, you know what, this team kind of sucks. I'm done. And so he just, if it was anybody else, if it was any other head
Rip
coach,
him, yeah.
They'd be getting destroyed. This is like mm-hmm. Bobby Petrino, Atlanta Falcon. He's ditching his team halfway through the season, and this is like Leonard Fournette saying, you know what, I'm done playing college football. I'm resigning, not retiring, and going to, you know, rest his body for the NFL. He'd be getting killed right now. But because it's the ball coach and because it's Spurrier, it's kind of like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I know they've struggled a little bit, and the LSU game didn't help them any. But I guess that it had to happen sometime. But I'm glad you're not being hard on him, because I guess Tennessee would be, well, yeah, he quit his job. What a dope. Let him have
the
it.
The only reason I'd be hard on him on this is a couple. It's the hypocrisy of this, and it's the theme of the first half of the season of the you can't lose part of this season is that if they're 4-2. He's still the head coach, mm-hmm. and he's. I get it. If these players, it's kind of a, again, if this is anybody else, he's getting destroyed. And if you're a senior and you're trying to get through this, you're like, you know what, dude? Thanks. You know, you're the one who put this together, Doorknob. This is your team, and you're bailing on us. You know, and so it's, to me, it's a little low rent. But again, it's Spurrier, so he's a different guy. It's a different coach. So he gets a little bit of a free pass.
Plenty of questions regarding the ouster of Steve Sarkisian by USC, the star-crossed USC program at this point. I don't know how it got as far as it got, if now we're hearing, well, yeah, everybody kind of knew he was drunk a lot, and he was drunk at public school functions, he was drinking in his office, that yet now, finally, it's a leave of absence, because he showed up unable to work, even though others said, well, it wasn't the first time he was in a game drunk ridiculous. Or a practice yep. drunk. I don't know how why the timing of it just seems odd.
Yeah, you know? You guys well know if you're going to can all the coaches who show up to things drunk, you've got a pretty big problem in the sports world. But you're right, it's a little cold because Sunday it became, because all these places, all these big giant corporate businesses that pretend to be, you know, colleges, and they call themselves family, and you know, you're part of the USC family. Well, you know, look, old Uncle Steve, you know, well, he's got a problem with the divorce, and he's got a problem with painkillers and drinking. So, you know, we're going to let him take a leave of absence. And that was Sunday, and it was kind of, and I sensed the overall reaction kind of being, you know what, all right, the guy's got real problems. You know, it's, you know, beyond everything else, you know, you can, you know, make this all about football and stuff, but really the guy's got a real bad life issues, and he's going through a real rough personal time. And so, you know, all right, let's give him a little bit of a break. And then the next day, gone. You know, not just gone, but Pat Hayden, you know, comes out, and we're going to terminate Steve Sarkisian. Not enough to fire him. They're going to terminate him. And it just, he had a lot of issues, but that's, again, the hypocrisy of the situation. Remember when he had this problem with the booster club in the offseason?
Yep.
And it was like, well, okay, if they win the Pac-12 title and beat UCLA and they go on to the playoff, it's like, oh, well, look at that. It's just crazy Steve Sarkisian. But if you start out 4-2, no, that's not good. And again, the 3-2, then he's gone. The hypocrisy of it is if they're 5-0 right now, he is still the head coach at USC.
And is Chip Kelly going to be the front runner for that job?
No, I'm guessing there's a bunch of problems with Chip Kelly being a head coach at any job. First of all, he's all in at that, you know, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not going to get rid of him. I mean, they've sacrificed so much for him to be. I mean, they've changed around their entire culture, and so it's really saying that, you know, they went on a limb for this guy.
That's what I heard too.
And if he's gone,
yeah.
It's really mm-hmm. not working. Secondly, I don't know why, if you're USC, you want him, because you need a. It's a different job because you need a guy who can be great in front of the media, and that was kind of Sark, you know, before all this sort of happened, is that he was a little bit of the anti-Lane Kiffin in terms of, you know, being better in front of the media. I mean, nobody's Pete Carroll, but at least Sark was a little bit better with the media, and that's just a different kind of job where you can't really be that that kind of gruff, grumbly head coach like Chip Kelly is. I just don't think he'd be quite the fit that they'd want there.
I guarantee you this, whoever Pat Hayden hires, it'll be wrong. I promise you that. Yeah, I guess that, yeah, is there something to the fact, and I didn't ask about this, that there's more coming out that Pat Hayden was worried about. Not that, you know, Pete, this is exactly great stuff that's been coming out, not that we didn't know it, but that there's more coming out that could be even more damaging to Sarkisian before this thing is over.
One of my best friends works out there on the UC beat writer, and I'll couch this by putting it this way. If there wasn't more coming out there about Lane Kiffin, then that was a problem. Then I doubt there's anything significantly worse that could come out from Steve Sarkisian. I mean, all these things were that, yeah, he has an addiction. He's going through rehab. He's going through an alcohol problem. And he's, again, going through divorce and going through all this stuff. It's just sort of a life issue with him. But again, if they're undefeated, he's taking a leave of absence. He's not getting terminated. So, but your USC, you know, you can go out and get just about any, I mean, no coach outside of Urban Meyer and Nick Saban is too crazy a thought for potentially taking over that job.
Do you know anything more about Florida and Will Grier and what happened and what it means?
Basically, he took some substance, and they're trying to couch it a little bit by saying that it might have been a mistake. He's going to appeal. They're going
over the counter thing. Yeah.
He didn't. A lot of the stuff isn't true. He didn't gain, you know, 60 pounds overnight or anything like that. I mean, he did gain 20 pounds of, you know, as a freshman, and but he took some sort of banned substance. It's not the, I'm not even going to try pronouncing it right, but it's not the thing that they originally said. But it was enough to get him knocked out for a full calendar year, and it's a big deal. The bigger problem with this for Florida and for him is you have to really screw up to get caught. I mean, it's not like he's the only person who's getting hit with this stuff. So for him to get nailed with this, he must have really made a mistake.
And the big outcome of the weekend that's in focus is not just Northwestern losing to Michigan, but Michigan just stepping on their neck.
Mighty Michigan.
What's the meaning of that?
I'm going to say it was a bad, from the opening kick, it was a bad thing for Northwestern, because the one thing you can't do in that game is get behind, because Northwestern doesn't have that passing game to keep up. And it was almost like whoever scored first, whoever had to make the other team try to throw to come back, was going to be ahead. And Northwestern just had to press. It was just not their type of game, and Michigan just had them. So we'll see, though. I mean, we'll see what this team's got now, because Michigan State, you know, that's the big question mark this year. Is Michigan State just kind of playing close to the vest? They haven't really turned it loose yet. But now they're a 7.5-point underdog, the Spartans are, and Michigan's expected to win. We're going to see what they can do with this.
If they do, I mean, this is one of the great turnarounds. I mean, and I realize it's Michigan, Pete, but for the love of God, this guy, and I know he's a little bit crazy. He's a lot crazy. And the Niners were tired of him and all that stuff that went down out there. But if this is true, and if the guy, they say they do beat Michigan State then too. I mean, and I just look at it and say, I don't know if I've seen a better coaching job that quickly. And I'm not saying the talent wasn't there. All I'm saying is it certainly didn't appear to be much there when he took the job. It didn't seem like much. And yet, oh my God, look at where they are now. But again, I qualify that by saying, yes, you have to beat somebody other than Northwestern.
And BYU, yeah. The only reason I'm not going to go that far is because the pieces kind of were there. You did have an amazing recruiting class from Brady Hoke. Brady Hoke, in his first year, they did build to that point under Rich Rodriguez, and in his first year, Brady Hoke went to the Sugar Bowl. And so Harbaugh's a better coach than that. But at the same time, also, the defense was phenomenal last year. The defense was national championship good last year. They couldn't do anything offensively, and they still can't really throw the ball. They did pretty – Jake Rudock played well against Northwestern. But the big difference, the one big tweak, is that offense. Offensive lines hitting people, is that everything's sort of a function from that. The defense is playing really well, but it also helps that now, unlike last year, they can run it, and they can control games better. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they get pressed and Jake Rudock actually has to start playing a little bit. And again, this is going to be a big test. So it's not dogging the turnaround at all. It's obviously a great job so far. But it wasn't a complete gut job needed to get to this point.
You know what, though? Harbaugh's kind of ruining it for everybody. Because when coaches take jobs, they always say, well, you know, there's a certain kind of recruit. There's always the excuse of get my guys in here and get his stamp on the program. When you are able to take another coach's guys, even if they're top-line guys, and a team is that much better simply because of how hard they're playing, because you are the coach, then you're going to have athletic directors asking for a whole lot more. Say, well, hey, look what he did. He just showed up and all of a sudden, look at that.
A couple parts to that. Let's see how South Carolina plays this weekend. I mean, they play Vanderbilt, but let's see what South Carolina does this weekend and see what USC does. So let's just see just what these teams do together. The other part to that is Texas. There's your example, because that was a complete rehab job, whereas Florida needed they just didn't have any luck offensively under Will Muschamp. Same thing for Michigan. Texas, that's a case of everyone liked Mack Brown, so they kept him around 2 years too long. And so what happened is you bring in a guy like Charlie Strong, who's a phenomenal head coach, great motivator, good guy, and he has to start a bunch of true freshmen. They lose. I mean, they get destroyed by a very good Notre Dame team, get destroyed by a TCU team that's ranked in the top three, and everyone's wondering, well, why are they so bad? Well, because you're playing a bunch of true freshmen, and you're not getting that sort of a break like you do at other places. So you're right. So it's all smiles and happiness now, but if they got blown out by Oklahoma, one of the big storylines this weekend is Charlie Strong surviving it. That's how crazy things are this year, is that every game, the windsock blows, and if you lose a game, if you're a big-time head coach, all of a sudden, uh-oh, it's over. And if you win a big game, oh, he's a good coach, everything's on track.
You have to admit, that was one of those Bob Stoops days, wasn't it? Isn't that what always happens?
Yeah, you knew Oklahoma was going to be all Oklahoma at some point. That was a bad. Now that was truly a case of a team that just played harder. You saw that Texas team just come out, and that defense was firing up. That was a team that you get that sometimes in college football more than any other sport, where you just have a bunch of 18 to 22 year old kids that decide, yeah, you know what, this week we're going to really try, and that was that for this week. And Oklahoma couldn't do anything about it.
Thank you, Pete.
Later, guys.
Love you, Pete.
Pete Futek talks college football. Then we turn our attention to the Bears and the NFL with Hub Arkush next on Boers and Bernstein on the Score.
Cubs broadcaster Len Casper on the Score is brought to you by Blue Man Group. Buy tickets now at blueman.com.
That's the sound of a computer getting hacked, which happens 18 times a second to people, to big companies, to everyone. Want to be ready for a cybersecurity career? Then you are kind of different. Because DeVry University's cybersecurity programming specialization immerses you in cyber attack simulations, so you can be career ready the day you graduate. DeVry University. Different on purpose. Learn about all our technology programs at DeVry.edu.
For comprehensive consumer information, visit DeVry.edu/BCIS. Program availability varies by location.
App on my smartphone, didn't think much about it, went with my gut and had big days from a couple of my guys, and it was great. My only regret was that I didn't take that lineup and enter it in multiple contests, which is one of my favorite features about DraftKings.com. Take your lineup, pick your contest, and with just a click or two, you can enter that unstoppable team in multiple contests. If you're 0-5 in your season-long league, why not right the ship starting right now at DraftKings.com? That's right, starting now, you can draft your team for Sunday right now at DraftKings.com. And with $1 million up for grabs every single week, every game is the big game and every play matters. So 1st and 10 in the first quarter feels like 4th and goal with 1 second left, and a Jay Cutler touchdown pass to Matt Forte could mean more than a last minute victory for the beloved. It could mean you just turn your love of football into a $1 million payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code Chicago and play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. Enter Chicago for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Federal Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction to ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, there is no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call the Federal Tax Relief Hotline, 1-800-237-2199. 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199.
Say bye-bye to your big bank credit card and hello to the nicest card you'll ever carry, the CEFQ MasterCard credit card. Get started today at CEFQ.com/mycard and see why CEFQ is not a bank. Better.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of someone who is terrible at giving directions. So you get on the 506, or it's the 605, and on the left past the new food truck, but not the new one, there's a six-way stop that's kind of like comparing Progressive's direct rate with our competitors' rates on Progressive.com, but not. Then take a right at the tree that looks like that guy from that show. You know, that guy that does the thing and everyone's like, ha ha.
Directing you to rates in one place at Progressive.com. Progressive.